Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I want to come to you with two special announcements. The first announcement is about classes here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. We are beginning classes this week, and there are three classes that might be of particular interest to you. The first class is How to Get the Most Out of Your Bible. The second class is Background to the New Testament. And the third class is What You Should Know About Islam. So if you are interested in any of those classes, why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 and learn more about how you can get involved in these classes. The second announcement that I would like to make is about our annual Biblical Counseling Conference. The theme this year is Your Cry Has Been Heard, that there are people who need to hear what the Word of God says about their problems. And so we have a one-day conference, April 16th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., where you can come and learn about what certain topics relate to the Bible and how you can use the Bible to address these issues. The first workshop that we're going to have is entitled The Challenges and Conquests of a Caregiver. Another class that we're going to have is Helping People Overcome Addictions. A third class is Understanding and Caring for Those Involved in Homosexuality. And the fourth class is Recovery After an Affair. If you are interested in any of those classes, you can go to our website to learn more information, or you can give us a call at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the radio program today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude On the Road Again from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of On the Road Again.
We don't put the truth in there. We put everything else in there. We put what Hollywood says in there. We put what Wall Street says in there. We put what the sporting world says. We put those things in there. And when we put those things in there, we're just continuing to corrupt the defiled nature that's already in us. Two natures beat within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Which one are you feeding? Which one are you feeding? David said, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. You want your word to permeate all in me. That's why I encourage people, you need to have devotions. You need to be in the Word of God every day. You need to be in a good Bible study somewhere. There's Bible studies. We got Bible studies all over this church. Bible Institute, Sunday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. We got all kind of Bible. Bible coming out your ears. And maybe there's a good Bible study somewhere else that you can get involved in. But you need to get the Word of God in your spirit to fight against this sin nature that he's talking about here. Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. And not only that, but look what he says. And in the hidden part, the parts that everybody else can't see. Lord, make me to know wisdom. Lord, don't let me be an idiot. Let me have a little wisdom in the inward parts where nobody can see. You need to go down the detour. The concourse of confession. Let me say this before I move on. Confession cleans the air between you and God. If you will do what I pointed out here, right up here, if you do that, all right, you will clear the air between you and God. And even if you slip or if you fall, the beautiful thing is that you can keep coming back. Peter asked, how many times shall we forgive? Jesus says 70 times 7. So if he's asking us to forgive 70 times 7, you can imagine he's a forgiving God. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'm going to get to that. There was a man who stayed with his mother. And his one job was to take out the trash. He didn't do it. And the house started stinking. And there was a foul stench in the house. And not only was there a foul stench in the house, but there was a foul stench between the man and his mother. So finally, the man got wise. And guess what he did? He took out the trash. And when he took out the trash, the air was cleaned between the two of them. That's what confession is. Confession cleans the air between you and God. Next, we have to merge on the freeway of forgiveness. Merge on the freeway of forgiveness. David calls for the Lord to forgive him. Look what he says in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Blot it out. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquity. What was he asking for? He was asking for forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you that if you will be broken, if you will confess, the Lord will forgive you. He will forgive you because, why? That's just what he does. Look at the scriptures that I have up here. That he is a forgiving God. David said, Lord, blot out my transgressions. Lord, don't remember my iniquities anymore. Psalm 103:12. He removes our sins so far as the east is from the west. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, he does not keep a record of the sins that we have in heaven. Isaiah 38:17, he places our sins in the middle. Look what it says here. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind your back. All of my sin. He cast them in the deepest sea, according to Micah 7 and 19. I like what I heard one preacher say. He cast our sin in the deepest sea, and then he posts a sign that says, no fishing. Amen. Amen. He will remember our sins no more. He will remember our sins no more. If you come to him broken and you come to him confessing, the Lord will wipe the slate clean, because that's just the kind of God that he is. That the Lord will release you from the condemnation that you labor under. God will open up the prison of guilt. He will open up the prison of condemnation, and he will let you out, because that's the kind of God that he is. Man was in jail. He hurt his parents' heart deeply, wounded it deeply. And his parents just struggled with the whole idea of him being in jail and the offense that he committed, and he was getting ready to get out, and he wrote his parents a letter. He said, I'm getting ready to get out. He said, I'll be on the train that comes right by our house, and if you have forgiven me, just tie a little ribbon around the tree, and that when I ride by, I'll know that I'm forgiven and I'm welcome home. And as the train drew closer to his house, he didn't want to look, because he couldn't stand that he would be rejected by his parents. And so somebody was seated next to him on the train, and he told him the situation and said, "Let me know if there's a ribbon out there on the tree." Amen. And as they got closer, he said, "What is there one there? Is there one there?" And the person said, "No." He said, "There's not one there. There's just a man and the lady out in the front yard waving a big white sheet." Amen. Forgiveness. That's what God does. God just doesn't put up a little white ribbon and say that we're forgiven. But when we come to him, God takes out a sheet and he waves his sheet to let us know that we are forgiven. And then we need to stop at the corner of cleansing. We need to stop at the corner of cleansing. Notice what he says in a couple of verses here. He says in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Look what he says in verse 7. He says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me." Whew. "And I shall be whiter than snow." Man, it don't. Whatever you've done, if you come right, the Lord will cleanse you. You may have to pay restitution for what you did. You may have to pay restitution before man, but I just want to say that before God, he will cleanse you. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. Have you been under the cleansing flood? Have you been purged? Have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? Wash me, and I shall be clean. Purge me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And you know, it's amazing that in this passage, he gives us three types of cleansing. Wow. Legal cleansing, spiritual cleansing, and ritual cleansing. The legal cleansing is for justification. What did he say? Blot out. The idea of being blotted out. Have you ever, and maybe some of you here may be the recipient of having your record expunged. Didn't get any amens there, so we all good, right? So that means you didn't do anything to get a record, or you didn't get expunged. All right? But when you think about this, you know, the idea here is legal cleansing for justification. That when God looks at us and you figure that, you know, all our life we commit sin. And that sin just builds up and builds up and builds up. And that one day we're going to have to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account for our sin. All right? But when you come to Christ, God expunges. He expunges the record. He washes your slate clean. David said, "Blot out my iniquities. Blot out my transgressions." That's the legal. He expunges them for justification. And then there's the spiritual cleansing. Look at this. Twice in this psalm, in verse 2 and verse 7, look what he said. "Wash me." Verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Wash me. This word actually was used to clean clothes. That whenever a person's clothes got dirty, this was the word that they would use: wash the clothes, cleanse them. You know, you ever see anybody with, what do they call it, OCD, with the hand washing? They just keep washing their hands. They keep washing their hands. And why do they do that? Because they don't think that they can get them clean. Well, David says here that when God washes our hands, that they're clean. That God, wow. He not only washes the filth away, but he also washes the guilt away. When God cleanses you, he not only washes the sin, but he washes the guilt. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk after Christ Jesus. See, if you've been cleansed, the devil will want to make you feel guilty. You know, there's a big difference between it. Two words that we as Christians need to understand. Guilt and conviction. All right? Guilt and conviction. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. That whenever we do something wrong, the Spirit of God convicts us. The devil makes us feel guilty. After God has cleansed us, the devil will make us feel guilty. David says here that God washes us for justification. He washes us for sanctification. And then I like this right here. He washes us for adoration. What is adoration? So you can worship. You can't worship God with clean hands, with dirty hands and an impure heart. You can't, if you are in sin, if you came in here this morning in sin, that there was some sin that's grabbing you right now, that's got a hold of you, and you're sitting here right now, you might be able to give lip service, you might be able to give hand service, but you can't give heart service to God. Because God knows. And the beautiful thing about God is that he cleanses us ritually. Now, where do you get this from? Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. Now, let's go back to the law of Moses. Let's go back to the law of Moses for a second. Whenever they wanted to cleanse the priests, and whenever they wanted to cleanse the people, what they did was they took this little plant called hyssop, and they would sprinkle it on the priest. They would sprinkle it on the people, and they would be ceremonially clean. What did that mean? That mean that now the priest, he was ceremonially clean. He could take the sacrifice, he could take the offering, and go what? And go worship. When God cleanses, he cleanses us so that we can worship him. This cleansing is for justification. This cleansing is for sanctification. And this cleansing is for adoration, that we can worship the Lord. And then, let me bring this down to the end. You got to wind down the road of restoration. Woo! Wind down the road of restoration. That when you're broken, when you're confessed, when you're forgiven, when you're cleansed, what comes after that? Restoration. What? On the road again. On the road again. Look what he said in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. I'm back on the road. Renew a right spirit in me. I'm right with God. It amazes me. Some people are wrong with God, and they know that they're wrong with God, and they have no desire to get right with God. David said, Lord, let me be right with you. Renew a right spirit in me. Put me back. Restore me with a right spirit. And then look, when you're on the road, look at verse 11. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, let me get excited about my salvation again. Lord, let me fellowship with you again. Let me fellowship in your presence. In verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, restore me to fellowship with you. back in your presence. And then he says, uphold me with a willing spirit. That means, Lord, don't let me fall prey to evil desires and passions. And so we get back on the road. We're restored. And as those great theologians, Peaches and Herbs, said, reunited, and it feels so good. Reunited and we're understood. We both are so excited because we're reunited. That when you get back on the road, you are reunited, reconnected with God. And then once we get on the road again, there are two lanes that we travel. There is the lane of service. Look at verse 13. You can't serve God the right way if you're not on the highway of holiness. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm not trying to, you keep serving. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from serving. But it's hard to serve God when you're not on the highway. Look at verse 13. He says, now notice, he had to go through all this. And he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. Lord, when I'm right, transgressors get right. When I'm right, sinners get right. Then will I teach transgressors your way. Lord, when I get right, when I get back on the highway, then Lord, you know what? Watch out, devil. Watch out, devil. I'm back on the road now. I'm back on the road. And I'm on this road, there's two lanes. And I'm letting you know, I'm back on the road. There's the lane of service. I'm going to teach transgressors. See, that's why the devil don't want you to be on the road. He don't want folk to get saved. He don't want folk to get right. And as long as you're not on the road, then sinners, they might be getting converted, but it's not because God is using you like he wants to use you. He wants you to be right. There's the lane of service, and then there's the lane of worship. Verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. He couldn't do this before. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Look at verse 19. Then shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. Now look, see, he wasn't coming with a burnt offering before, but how's he coming now? When he got right, look what he says here. He says, with burnt offering and whole sacrifice, burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. Wow. Do you see that? That's powerful. Yeah, he said before, he said, I wouldn't offer it. Because I know what you wanted. You wanted a broken spirit. But now, Lord, I can offer the sacrifices of animals on your altar. Why? Because I'm on the road. I'm on the road again. And so as we close out, I put together this little poem. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Living a life where I can have victory over sin. I can't wait to get on the road again. And in your handouts, let me just challenge you that at the end of the handout, there is a little chart that deals with holiness and relationships. And so if the Lord has spoken to you from this message about how you need to respond, especially in the area of relationships, then we ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to do his work.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Enemies of Holiness from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org. And request On the Road Again. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, you can request the entire 10-part series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that's anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.